Jesus himself claims this: where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means Jesus Christ is here this morning.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
The scriptures clearly teach us that, first of all, Jesus is God. Secondly, that God is everywhere. Thirdly, the church is the body of Jesus Christ on earth. I repeat. Church is the body of Jesus Christ on earth. And finally, we're to obey the commandments of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, one of which is not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, this is all scripture. With this in mind, we are to make sure people know Jesus Christ lives on the corner of Fremont and Briar Street in Springfield, Missouri.
Amen.
Amen. Our Master is alive. Our Master is alive and well. Turn in your Bibles to Mark 16, chapter 16. We're going to read one verse of scripture. We're going to ask Randy to lead us in prayer. Just one verse. The ninth verse. Chapter 16 in Mark's Gospel, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Often, it seems, it is one that was once the furthest away from God that is the closest to him after salvation. We see that over and over again in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. Magdalene had been possessed by seven devils, according to the word, amen? Torn by seven malicious spirits, personality disorders, split, tormented, manic depressive, schizophrenic. Who could possibly know this woman's life of torment and terror? Seven devils. Jesus could. Jesus could. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Jesus, the creator of his own image, back there in the beginning, could. He could understand. He who ordered the maniac of Gadara's legion of devils into the herd of swine could cast out Magdalene seven. Jesus, who came to seek and to save lost, dying, blind, halt, and lame people, could make this woman whole. So he did. He did. It was she who came first to the tomb of her Savior.
That's right.
John 20. John chapter 20. Begin our reading with verse 11. I want you, as I read this and as you follow in your Bible, to imagine. Use your imagination and listen to the words. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Here we find, I believe, some interesting truths. I want to talk about them with you this morning. First of all, it's obvious she was not interested in finding angels, but in finding Jesus. They were angels from heaven sitting there. Where's Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right, yeah.
Isn't that great? It was not some messenger or some warrior angel from the heavenly host that had put Magdalene in her right mind. It was the carpenter of Nazareth, the manger baby grown to manhood. It was the itinerant preacher teacher. It was the Emmanuel of Isaiah that made her a brand new creation, that caused all the old things in her life to pass away, and that made everything new for Mary Magdalene. I am weeping, Magdalene said, because I don't know where Jesus is, and I want to take care of him in the proper way. You see, beloved, angels are not sufficient when it is God that we truly need. I repeat, angels are not sufficient when it's God we truly need.
Amen.
Oh yes, angels guide us from the evil one, bring messages to us from our Father, but they cannot raise us from the dead. Can't do it. And you and I, just like Mary Magdalene, are dead in trespasses and sin until we're born again. Amen? We're born of the Spirit of God. Until we are born of the Spirit of God, just as Jesus instructed Nicodemus. Now, I know you've been listening to me for 8 years, and you know where I go when I'm talking about this, but we can never hear it often enough. Do you ever tire of hearing the message found in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John?
No, sir.
I believe if we went there once a week and read those 21 blessed verses, it would vitally change our attitudes about what salvation and service for our Lord Jesus Christ is all about. So let's go there. The 3rd chapter in the Gospel of John. And just kind of close your eyes as I read it to you. It was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This, you see, is exactly what happened to Mary Magdalene. That's exactly what happened. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus he had to do. Happened to her. Her mind was restored. She had experienced a new birth. She was a child of God. And she wanted to find the body of this one who had restored her and raised her from the dead. Think about that. Little did she know that Jesus himself was alive. She simply wanted to take proper care of his body. She didn't have a clue that Jesus risen from the dead. So, as she turned away from the angelic duo, confused and weeping, she did not recognize the figure who asked the same exact question as the angels. Woman, why are you weeping? And adding in that question, whom are you seeking? Through the mist of tears, supposing that he was the gardener of the tomb sites, Mary said that she had come to recover the body of Jesus. How often in the midst of confusion and of fear, how often in the midst of doubt and anxiety, have we who know Christ seen him? We know that he is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Magdalene did not. If you're a Christian today, you know Jesus Christ is risen. You know Jesus Christ is present. Or should he? Magdalene didn't know. We know he will never leave us or forsake us. Magdalene didn't know. We know one day Jesus is coming again to rule and to reign. Not as the manger babe, not as the carrier of a carpenter of Nazareth, not as the supreme sacrifice for our sin, but as Lord of lords and King of kings. We know that. Mary didn't. She just wanted to take care of his body. Is that right? The way I read the scripture, that's what Magdalene wanted. We know all these things. Mary Magdalene did not, and yet, first to the empty tomb came this woman who once was possessed with seven devils. Unimpressed with angels, weeping and confused, she was seeking the body of the one who gave her a brand new life. The new birth does that to a person, doesn't it? Even the death of a loved one takes on new meaning. Little did Mary Magdalene know that it was Jesus, not the gardener, until he spake one word. I want you to listen now. He spoke, he said he spoke more than one word. It was the one word that did it. The word that means we are important to another person. The word that means we have fellowship with another person. Our name. Mary. Mary. It was that one word, that personal relationship word, her own name, Mary. And immediately she replied with the one word Jesus wants to hear from you and from me and from every other Christian. Master. Master. Why am I preaching this particular message some 2,000 plus years after this once demon-possessed woman came seeking the Savior's body? Beloved, how much do you really care for the Savior's body? The church. Amen? How much? Do you love the church, the living body of Jesus Christ, enough to want to treat it properly? That's all Mary wanted. Do you? It is not the angels, but Christ we are to be concerned about. Amen. Sometimes, like Mary Magdalene, we're overcome with grief, overcome with doubt, overcome with concerns. Listen for Jesus to speak to you. Oh, he's getting off on that mysterious stuff now. He's going Pentecostal on me. No. You listen. Listen for Jesus to speak to you. He will. He will. He'll speak to you from scriptural teaching. He'll speak to you from your own personal Bible study. He'll speak to you from good, solid Bible preaching. He'll speak to you this morning, and he'll speak to you when you pray. All Christ desires of his people is that one inspiring word. Master. Is he yours this morning? I sincerely pray he is. If he isn't, he can be. You can talk to anyone here this morning about Jesus, because we do care.